Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs on the planet. And I can say from personal experience that they have awesome customer service. Use the code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD. And by Audible, the best audiobook service in existence. Seriously, if you like stories at all, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. Those ads help cover our server costs for the show, but if you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate and show us some love. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to episode 66 of the Happy Hearthstone podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. Ooh, that was out of order. This is like a special episode already. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined by Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Josh. Thank you so much for having me on the Happy Hearthstone. Long time listener, first time guest host.
I'm super excited to have you here. I went on your podcast. I was trying to remember. It was a long time ago.
It has been a long time, yes.
Yeah, on the Dark Moon Herald.
Uh-huh.
So that's awesome. So can you tell people a little bit about that show, who you are, why you love Hearthstone?
Oh, absolutely. As my intro says, my name is Kevin. I am one of the hosts on the Dark Moon Herald podcast. It's a World of Warcraft podcast. We talk about all the crazy circus and that is Warcraft. We have a bunch of different fun segments and bumpers. We talk about mount collecting. We talk about raid bosses. We have like the dunk tank trivia when we have a guest host where, you know, one host gets dunked into the freezing waters of Northrend. But I think our most popular segment is the Sideshow of Suck, where everybody gets to share, including our listeners, a moment in which they have just made a dumb mistake in the game. And you just kind of roll your eyes and just be like, ah, God, have I really been playing this game for 8 or 10 or 11 years like I have? And I'm still making that mistake?
Oh, yeah. All right, so I'm putting you on the spot, Kevin.
Okay.
What is the dumbest thing you have heard someone confess on your show?
I think it was really near the front, but it was basically somebody had this story about how they were a hunter on the Horde side, and they wanted to tame a particular cat that only existed in the Darnassus, mm-hmm. or in that area right outside Darnassus.
Oh, I know where this is going.
It was like a spectral owl or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they basically death run their way because they're such a low level tune already that they just keep getting killed, going through like Fenris and, you know, trying to get to the Dark Shores and then getting over to the big tree, Teldrassil, yeah. And then going up there, and they finally tame this like spectral owl thing, and they're so happy and they hearth back and they're playing with the spectral owl as their pet, and then all of a sudden the owl just goes away. Because back in the day in vanilla and I think Burning Crusade, your pet had moods, happy, complacent,
no.
And angry, and they forgot to feed their pet. And if your pet's attitude, if you don't feed it, will go all the way to the point where it abandons you.
Like it's permanently gone. It's not like,
no,
get it
yeah,
back.
It's just gone. It was one of the coolest like little RP things that was in original Warcraft that's no longer there, is that your pet would get pissed off and leave you.
I can't imagine that person thought it was a cool mechanic at the time, but I
understand. Oh no. And, you know, like, you know, the first couple of players, like, you might lose your first animal and then you kind of like learn your lesson and you never let them drop that low again.
It's just like real life.
Exactly. You got to feed it to keep it. And so he lost that owl. And that was just one of the like most, because it took him a long, long time to get to Teldrassil in order to get that owl. And so it was a very long and epic.
That sounds super painful.
Yeah.
All right. So when did you start playing Hearthstone and when did you get into that? What parts do you like?
Oh, my gosh. I started playing Hearthstone in the beta. So I have my awesome golden Mechatork, and
nice.
I really started playing when I got the golden ETC from going to BlizzCon that one year.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I have two golden cards. I should probably get into this. And I played the intro, and I was really excited about it. And then I, you know, built these decks that I thought were going to be cool. And you know what? I played Magic the Gathering in college and in high school. I was really good at building decks, and you know, my decks were better than all my friends' decks. So, you know, obviously I can bring that knowledge here to Hearthstone, you know, like the watered down version of Magic the Gathering. And, you know, so I started playing and I was just getting raffle stomped. Like, it was bad. I was not winning games. I wasn't completing the quests. I was too good for net decking. And so I wasn't looking up any decks. I was just keep trying to make my own decks, and it just wasn't working. And I got frustrated, and I'm like, you know what, screw this. I love Warcraft better anyway, so I'm just going to go back to that. And then I went to the BlizzCon where they introduced Goblins versus Gnomes. And
it was the song that got you, right? That trailer was so good.
Oh, my gosh. The trailer was so good, and then I got to go to the play floor. And this is what really did it for me is – on the play floor, you could, you know, they had two decks that you could play Goblins versus Gnomes with. And I was with a party of three, so I was the lone man out. And I just got paired up with some random dude. And he goes, you know, I've never, you know, I've played this a bunch today and no one has ever beat me. And, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, wow, that's really arrogant. But you know, whatever. I don't care. I have a podcast with the Sideshow of Suck as one of its, like, flagship segments. So I'm like, dude, I suck at Hearthstone, so I'm not going to break your win streak, okay? I'm just here to try out the new cards and have some fun while my friends over here, who are, like, the real Hearthstone fans, you know, will play. Well, it turns out I beat him. Like, hard. Like, he didn't have a chance. I just kicked his butt. And he stood up. He's like, hey, good game. And you could tell he was kind of deflated. And that just gave me, like, this, I can do this.
Yeah.
I just need the right deck and the right, you know, frame of mind. But this game could be my game. And
now, when you beat people, are you always picturing that guy on the other side in game? Because I totally would.
It depends on how the victory goes down.
If they're doing like BM emotes at you, I'd be like, yeah, it's definitely that guy.
Exactly. So that's what basically reinvigorated me towards Hearthstone. I was watching the professional game, so I wasn't completely removed from it because I love watching like StarCraft and Heroes of the Storm. And Hearthstone, you know, the champions, because, I mean, gosh, they're the best in the world. You know, I love watching these guys play. So I was able to kind of, like, jump in, and I went on vacation. I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm just going to buy a bunch of packs, so I'm going to have the cards that I need to build these decks. And, like, let's actually sit down and look up strategies, figure it out. You had this awesome series with, I believe it was Scott, about, you know, how to draft and how to, you know, value cards and, you know, trading. The most awesome thing that I learned from your podcast was the value of trading your cards with their cards. You know, like, okay, my card has this value, their card has that value. So if I can trade, you know, one for one, then I'm actually getting the better end for the deal. If I'm trading two for one, oh, that's a bad call. You know, and so it's like, I'd never heard that whole like breaking down as far as like, oh, this card is a half mana undervalued or overvalued. Like, it kind of just opened my eyes to how Hearthstone works and the way it all plays together. And it got me really excited to jump back in. And this all kind of is like a perfect storm of getting me excited for Hearthstone again. And since then, I haven't put it down, man. I got all the expansions, played them, you know, beat them. I've dumped way more money than I will admit into this game, but
you and me both, buddy.
It's a lot of fun. And ever since I got my iPhone 6 and didn't get dropped halfway through a game because I was playing on an iPhone 4, bad idea, by the way.
That's unfortunate.
But yeah, once I got my iPhone 6, I'm like, okay, now my computer time isn't like, okay, you know, do I play, you know, Hearthstone, Diablo, StarCraft, Warcraft, or Heroes of the Storm. it's, you know, and then of course, you know, Hearthstone kind of gets the last pick on that. But now it's like, hey, I'm in an airport. Yeah, of course I'm going to play Hearthstone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, waiting for XYZ to happen. Yeah, let me play some Hearthstone. So
yeah, having it on the phone is so awesome.
Yeah, that's what really keeps me going and gets those daily quests done.
Yeah. All right. So now, listeners that are concerned, because I can tell there's at least one of you out there right now saying like, man, this Kevin guy talked about his podcast a lot. Are we going to get a repeat of last week? So I wanted to address a couple concerns because we got a couple notes about the last episode of the podcast, which was the best podcast in live streams. Our guest Rob came on and talked about some of his favorite podcasts and live streams and kind of broke down kind of based on what you want to do in game, get better in an arena, do that sort of stuff, which ones to listen to. So most people really enjoyed the episode.
And the answer to all of those was listen to the Happy Hearthstone.
I'm not going to help you get better at top tier ranked. Scott might, though, when he's on. So listen to Happy Hearthstone when Scott's on.
Exactly.
Or when someone like Frid comes on. But I just want to address
Zulok, apparently.
No joke.
Beat everything.
Undefeated for 9 months or whatever.
Probably 10 now.
A couple people got kind of upset by Rob's descriptions of their favorite shows or kind of just the way, because Rob had a very particular mindset. He really valued hosts that had legendary experience or pro play experience. So he really liked those podcasts. And some of his comments about the other podcasts were a little dismissive. So just wanted to go ahead and apologize if anyone was offended by that. That was certainly not our intent. We just wanted to kind of share Rob's view. I mean, that's the cool thing. The thing I love most about this show is bringing on the cycling guests like Kevin. He has a totally different opinion than, you know,
anyone else in the world.
He's a crazy person. So I just really love letting different people come on with different opinions and share their opinions. And so sometimes we're not going to always agree with everyone, but hopefully you got some listen out of the show. But that said, we're not going to spend the rest of this episode talking about Kevin's show. We're going to talk about Hearthstone. but let's go ahead and move on to why we're happy. I'll go first. I went to the beach this weekend. It's a holiday here in the U.S. And so we went to the beach. And my little son, who's about a year and a half, you know, dug in the sand and he ran into the water and got terrified by how cold it was. So I picked him up and held him above the water. It was a really fun time.
That's excellent. I don't know if, you know, if we're just bragging about where we live, Josh, but the fact that it's been 80 degrees here.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been able to switch from wearing my, you know, long sleeve turtleneck under my long sleeve shirt at work to like, oh man, I better bust out my, you know, t-shirts. You know, otherwise I'll get way too hot while I'm out on working in Pacific Beach. But the weather here in San Diego has just been gorgeous.
It's crazy. I just naturally, out of instinct, because it's February or whatever, I grab a sweatshirt and put it on. Then halfway through my day, I'm like, why am I not wearing tank tops? Everything. It's outrageous. But yeah, so that's really fun. Why are you happy this week, Kevin?
Well, besides the fact that we live in San Diego, which is reason to be happy enough.
Now you're just rubbing it in, dude. There's some guy out there sitting snowed in, just crying his eyes out every time you brag about our sunshine.
I know, right? The reason that I'm happy this week is because I have been able to remodel my office, in which I used to have this big 8-foot bookshelf that had like my Warcraft and Starcraft mega blocks and my collector's editions and stuff like that. And right now, I actually tweeted pictures of this. So if any of you listeners want to see pictures of my office, you can check it out at Kevin Old Scratch on Twitter. But I was able to rearrange my posters and put up shelving to display my mega blocks figures and like my pop vinyls and my collector's editions of Warcraft and Starcraft. So, I mean, my office is looking really, really awesome right now. And it's all because one of the walls of my office is from corner to corner without an inch of space to spare was episodes 1 through 6 of Star Wars.
Oh, cool.
And now there's an episode 7. And ever since the announcement of episode 7, like every friend that I've had has been sitting there like, well, what are you going to do? where's it gonna go? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I ordered like the official size movie poster, you know, like the moment it was able to order, yeah. And it sat in the tube for a couple months because I'm just like, I don't know where to put it. I don't know what to do with it, and I don't want to take it out until I do because I don't want to ruin it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I realized that the only free wall in my office was where the bookshelf was. So I'm like, okay, the bookshelf's got to go. And so now I actually have on that wall three frames. One has episode 7 and the other two are empty waiting for.
That's good. You're thinking ahead this time.
Exactly. Because I'm smart.
I like to believe that, like, someday, like, when you're on your deathbed, just floor to ceiling, like, the ceiling's going to be movie posters, the walls, the floor, won't even run out of space.
Yeah, I kind of had to make that deal, though. Like, I'm not going to get the Rogue One or the Han Solo story posters. It's just going to be the Star Wars episodes.
That's good. You're compromising. I like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. And if I didn't geek out too bad on our listeners about my office.
Well, I have a hard time believing that there's not a large crossover between people that like Star Wars and people that like Hearthstone.
I know, right?
It's probably pretty big. All right, so this week we are doing another deck battle.
Yes!
I am excited. So we do these deck battle episodes about once a month. This is where the guest host brings on their favorite deck and break it down for you. Tell us about the cards they put into it, how it works, why they like playing it. And then we put the deck to a test, where we battle a best of three against me live on the show, where Kevin will be playing his deck and I'll be playing the current reigning champion deck, which he mentioned earlier, Andrew's Warlock Demon Zoo deck.
Uh-huh.
Back from episode 49. That's, 15 episodes ago. When it was first introduced. Wait, no, 57 episodes ago. No, yes. 17 episodes
17
ago.
17 episodes.
I'm just making up numbers
the
all over the
place. Maths are hard.
100 million episodes. So if you want to look up the current reigning champion deck, go back to episode 49. Andrew put together a full guide about how to do it, which actually, Kevin, you mentioned at the top of the show you used that guide to build the deck, and you're still using it, right?
I did, yes. This is my, you know, when I get a quest to do Warlocks, this is the deck that I bust out. It's still very much viable in the ladder. It's crazy. I haven't tweaked it at all for the current expansions, because I think that deck came out before the Grand Crusade or the Grand Tournament.
Yeah.
And before whatever the latest
League of Explorers.
Was. League of Explorers, yes, thank you. I haven't touched it. Still winning. It is an amazing deck, and I'm very, very intimidated by it. But it's going down today.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have the best chance so far. So let's go ahead. Let's get into your deck, because you mentioned at the top of the show that you weren't into net decking originally, but this is a fairly popular deck, so I'm assuming
this
you've gotten over that hurdle.
Oh, I got way over that hurdle.
Okay.
You know, it's so funny, from playing a card game before the invention of the internet and now a card game after, that just the ability to look up, like, hey, these are what every player at BlizzCon were using as their decks.
Yep.
And play that.
So what are you playing?
So today I'm going to be bringing in the Mysterious Challenger, the Secret Paladin, the Christmas Tree Paladin, or whatever other crazy names people have decided to call it.
I prefer to call it the Dirty Cheater Paladin.
The Dirty Cheater Paladin. I call it Da Winning.
Okay.
But you know what? Initially, when this deck came out, I absolutely hated people who played it because I didn't, you know how people like fear the unknown.
Yeah.
It was one of those decks that everybody was winning and nobody could figure out how to beat it. And there was a lot of screaming and crying about and wailing and gnashing of teeth about how this deck needs to be neutered and, you know, it needs to be nerfed and all that fun stuff. But it really boiled down to people figuring out how to play against it outside of just the hunter using flare. And as a guy who has only made it to rank 12, obviously at the higher ranks of play, people have definitely figured out how to beat this deck. It's not a 100% win condition now. There are many, many times where I will win with this deck and I never draw the Mysterious Challenger.
Yeah.
So it's a solid deck with or without that one particular win condition.
Will you allow me one moment of sadness before I promise to be happy for the rest of the episode?
Sure.
There are so many answers to this deck. Most of them didn't exist when this Demon Zoo deck was built, because they're in the newer sets. So it's like, there are a lot of answers to this deck. I don't see very many of them in my list here. All right. There you go. I threw it out there on the table because I expect in about 20 minutes you guys are going to have a version of me admitting defeat.
No.
So I just wanted to just caveat it right there.
Right now, before I have to smack talk and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
near the end of the episode, I'm going to be very humble on this one. Like I said, there can be draw issues with the particular type of Mysterious Challenge, Secret Paladin deck that I play, because this isn't a pure net deck. I have made my own tweaks and changes to it.
Nice.
Some because I don't have particular legendary cards that are asked for. And as I mentioned, I will play legendary cards because I have those legendary cards.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for me to not play. Like, for instance, I don't have Tyrion Four Dragon. I have Edric the Pure. So I'm running Edric because... Yeah. If people go, what is that card? I've never seen a paladin play Edric the Pure. You're right, you haven't.
See, I think there's actually value in that because they're not expecting it, so they won't play around it a lot of times.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So there is a little bit of difference in this one. It has my own little twists and flavor to it. It is not, you know, the pure and refined, you know, tier one legendary net deck that you would actually see a lot of the tournament that's currently going on. They're running the Secret Paladin deck there. It's that solid of a deck.
Yeah.
And so that's another reason why I'm happy. I'm like, yay, a deck that I'm playing like before it was cool is actually still very viable. And at that, like the highest level of play. Yeah.
People are kind of familiar with this deck, I'm assuming.
Yes.
But let's talk about just kind of how it wins, right? So the Mysterious Challenger is a 6-drop.
Yes.
That is a 5/5, I think. 5/5?
Yeah, it's a 5/5 or a 6/6. And this is me being silly because honestly, I don't pay attention
to... All right,
to...
so it's a 6/6.
Okay,
so it's
it
a 6 cost,
6/6.
The battle cry, put one of each secret from your deck into the battlefield.
Right.
And that's why people call it the Christmas Tree Paladin, because it lights up your whole frame with all these wonderful, colorful lights. and so that's the most common win condition, is once that's on the board, you just need so many cards to answer all of those secrets that the momentum is just totally lost. You mentioned having other win conditions. What are the other win conditions?
Yeah, the other win conditions are I have the Murloc Knight. Mm. So, and the Murloc Knight is an amazing card. I have no other Murlocs in the deck, so don't think that, you know, like I'm dropping like every win or every, like, what is it?
Every fin is awesome.
Every fin is awesome, yeah.
Or any fin can happen. That's the Paladin one.
I think
confused.
They should have called it Every Fin is Awesome, because that's an amazing title, too.
That is the Shaman one, I think.
Oh, everything is awesome.
I can't remember. One of them is called that.
Okay. Either way, so the Murloc Knight, it's one of those cards that, like, hey, if I don't get the Mysterious Challenger, this dude is dropping on turn 6, because you can drop him, use your hero power. He summons a random Murloc onto the field. As long as it's not the baby Murloc, I'm way happy with it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you go from you go from a clear board to 3 minions. If you already have a couple secrets on the board, but they've just been clearing your board away so that none of your secrets can activate, it's very difficult for them at that point to just do a complete board wipe, especially on turn 6. And so you're going to get a couple of your stickies sitting there. And then at that point, you can play like Blessing of Kings on top of one of those and just start slamming face. You could drop a second Murloc Knight, which has been, you know, like one of my really awesome plays was I drop a Murloc Knight, I use my Inspire, it generated a second Murloc Knight. And
that's the dream right there.
Exactly. And then the guy used like three or four removal or like wasted half of his cards and boards to get rid of one Murloc Knight and the Murloc that he's that and another big I think I had like my shielded mini bot and or another my Secret Keeper on the board. And then I dropped the second Murloc Knight that I had in my hand. Hit my Inspire, so the two Murloc Knights on the board summoned two other guys along with my,
and he
just conceded at that.
Yeah.
So that's another like really fun win condition, and also like if I'm sitting on turn five and I have the Murloc Knight and the Mysterious Challenger in my hand, I'll drop the Murloc Knight, and you know maybe like an extra secret or something, you know, with that extra mana. And they will go through God and Country to destroy that Murloc Knight because they know what it could do.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
And, yeah, it's a huge lightning rod. And so then you drop the Mysterious Challenger, boom, secrets, and then they have nothing to deal with that.
You're getting me scared over here, buddy.
Right. And basically if you can do a turn five Murloc Knight, they burn all of their removal, getting rid of the Murloc Knight. Turn six, Mysterious Challenger. They start freaking out a little. Turn seven, Dr. Boom. And then that's usually a pretty pretty sweet board state on your side.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about some of the key cards. Let me guess two of them. Mysterious Challenger and Murloc Knight.
The Murloc Knight. Are the two main ones. The other one, a couple of the other cards, you know, obviously Dr. Boom is always a big threat on the board that he's great to have. A couple of the secrets that are really, really good are the Avenge, which when one of your minions dies, it gives another random minion +2/+3/+2 for one mana. I mean, it's an amazing card.
Yeah.
And so if you can drop like your Muster for Battle and Avenge on turn four, it's like, yes! As long
kill
as
one
they
of them.
Don't
I
like
you.
Fan of Knives, Consecrate, you know, I can go through a list of
and
board clears.
And even then, when the board clear happens, it's fine because the secret's just going to sit there and wait for whenever it does proc.
Exactly. And that's one of the really cool parts about the secrets that the Paladin runs is that eventually they will proc. Competitive Spirit will proc. You just hope that it does on more than just one character. Yeah. Avenge will pop. I love dropping and the secrets, they're all one cost. So that really frees up like your turn three and your turn five, where all of your other cards are even numbered.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting there going like, okay, it's turn three. I have, you know, a shielded mini bot. Sweet. I'll drop my shielded mini bot and maybe my Noble Sacrifice or an Avenge, because I know they're probably not going to, particularly the Avenge, because the shielded mini bot, they're going to spend one turn getting rid of the Divine Shield on that.
Yeah.
Then turn four, you can drop your Murloc Knock Knight or something like that. Then they try to kill the Murloc Knight. Once they do, that then gives your shielded mini bot is now a 5/4, and it can just start snowballing out of control. You drop Blessing of Kings on it. Now it's a 9/8, and you just pray to God that they don't have a big game hunter in their hand. But even if they do, then that makes your Dr. Boom, your Mysterious Challenger after Competitive Spirit kicks, you know, that much more viable, because almost nobody runs more than one big game hunter anymore.
Yeah.
So if you get him to burn that on a pimped out shielded minibot, all right, cool.
Okay. So. Yeah. So the secrets are deceptively powerful, because a lot of people for a while were saying that Paladin had the worst secrets because they're only one mana. But yeah, like you're saying, especially Avenge, I mean, you can get a lot of value out of that.
Yeah. Another one that you can get a lot of out of is Noble Sacrifice. If you can play it in a good order, you know, turn two, drop your turn three, drop your Knife Juggler and the Noble Sacrifice. That way, if they have a minion on the board, they send it in against the Knife Juggler. The Noble Sacrifice comes out. The Knife Juggler does an extra attack. The Knife Juggler is now protected, and it does a damage out there. So that way, the next turn, you can then drop, let's say, Competitive Spirit, Muster for Battle. You do 3 extra damage from the Knife Juggler. You have the extra bodies on the board. And then if they are able to stick around, then they all instantly become 2/2s.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to it. The way that this deck varies from a lot of other Secret Paladins is I run 2 Mysterious Challengers and I think like 8 or 9 secrets.
How many secrets does a normal deck run?
They'll usually run about 5 or 6.
Okay.
And they'll only focus on like the Avenge, Noble Sacrifice, and Competitive Spirit. Well, if I'm ever at that point where I'm dropping a second Mysterious Challenger, I want him to bring some secrets into the game. Like I said, they're not worthless if you're just playing the secrets as is. Usually they take up that extra mana that's just going to be floating anyway.
Yeah.
And they're a huge psychological game because, you know, if I drop, you know, a Redemption, you're sitting there going like, oh my gosh, that could be Avenge. That could be Competitive Spirit. What is... You know, and everybody yeah. thinks it's the worst one, so it has to be Avenge every time. So, or Noble Sacrifice. And so it's like, okay, which do I attack, and where do I attack, and what do I attack with?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
That's my favorite thing about Secrets, because I really like that kind of psychological side of the
yeah.
game. And it is really fun to throw down, like, a Noble Sacrifice and be like, okay, they think it's this other thing, then see them act like they think it's the other thing, then see it just totally backfire on them and just like, yes, like, I outthought you. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I have better cards or I have more stats than my dude. It's just like, I played mind games and I won. It feels really rewarding.
Yeah, or one of my favorite little combos to play is if you drop the Noble Sacrifice and Avenge and you have, let's say, your Knife Juggler out or your Shield of Anybody or whatever... They go into attack, it kills the Noble Sacrifice, buffs, so now your Knife Juggler is a 5/4. Good luck getting rid of that.
Yeah, that's
and then the
scary.
Mage Dragon Breaths, and you're just like, oh, darn it. Hate Mage.
All right, so any other key cards?
That's pretty much it. Consecrate keeps the board clear for you.
Yeah.
And it's great against aggro. And then the Edric the Pure... one of the reasons why I run Edric, besides the fact that I own him, is that he's fantastic against late game, especially Zulok, where, you know, you drop Molten Giant, you know, Dr. Boom, blah, blah, and I'm like, okay, that's awesome. I drop Edric, now they're all 1/8 creatures.
Yeah.
And I can actually do something about that instead of having to deal with multiple 8/8s and 7/7s.
Yeah.
6/6s. So it's a really good card. I remember I was playing in a Fireside tournament and I was going up against a warrior deck and they had a Garrosh Hellscream that was ready to punch me for like 11 billion damage. I dropped Edric and I just heard from across the room like, oh my gosh, what is that?
Yeah, he's like, no, he's not supposed to be running that. He's not supposed to have that in his deck.
Nobody runs Edric the Pure.
It's not fair.
So, I mean, and, you know, Edric in and of himself is a decent body on the board.
Yeah,
too.
He's a, just to remind people, he's a 7-cost, 3/7.
Yeah, so way you have to, in order to get the pure value out of him, like you have to be, you know, neutering the heck out of like some big creatures,
yeah.
In order to make that 7/3/7 worth it, but you know, also a 3/7, you know, that's going to be a hard card to remove. And yeah. if you're able to then buff that up with the rest of the secrets that you know happen to top deck after that, or you know the Blessing of Kings that you draw, it's like, oh, now he's an 11, a 7/11 creature, and we all love 7/11s.
That's a fact. All right, so that's the deck.
Yeah.
Any parting thoughts before we jump into the deck battle?
The one thing that I want to kind of like sell my deck to other players who may think of it as like cheap paladin or, you know, cheaty win condition, one of the main reasons why I jumped into and really latched onto the Secret Paladin is it's not just a cheap way to win. It is literally a cheap way to win in the ladder. You don't have to run Dr. Boom or Edric the Pure or Tyrion Fordring to make this deck work. It works so great without any legendary cards in it. You can make it work with only two or three epics, no legendaries. Everything else is common and rares or paladin base cards. So it can be a very, very inexpensive deck to build if you're new to the game. And this will get you way past rank 20. And I've easily been able to make it to rank 15 or higher with this deck every month.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is a good time to point out, Kevin is writing up a full guide for this that I'll actually also include substitute cards for all those legendaries and epics. So if you don't have them, you know, he'll recommend what you can replace them with, which is really cool. So that'll be on GameDiplomat.com with the rest of this stuff. As a reminder, I'm going to be playing Andrew's Demon Zoo deck, which has already beaten six decks, Kevin. Six decks, buddy.
Yeah.
It hasn't been defeated since June of last year, 2015. That's ancient history at this point. So do you think your deck will be the one to beat it?
I don't just think my deck will be the one to beat it. I know it. It was prophesized earlier today. I have slaughtered the fatted calf to just guarantee my win today.
Wow.
And you know what? I've been playing this deck. I know what the Zulok will bring. I know how it can be beaten because I have been beaten with it several times. So I know what to do in order to bring the pain, and the mysterious challenger will be bringing the pain. So,
wow,
good
that's
luck.
That's some of the best trash talk we've had on this show, Kevin. Well done, dude.
Yeah, and your mama, too.
Oh, wow! Too far.
Oh, sorry. I've never met your mother. I'm sure she's a wonderful woman.
You deserve a penalty for that. You cannot play any cards for the first four turns.
Oh, okay. All right.
Perfect. All right. That I'm going to have no problem winning this series. So we're going to go do a best of three series right now. You can watch it in its entirety in our show notes, gamediplomat.com, or on our Twitch and YouTube channels, which we'll link in the show notes. Kevin, best of luck.
Indeed, best of luck to you, and you will need it.
And we'll be right back after this. All right, and we are back. Kevin, I don't really know what to say, dude.
I feel like I need to file a report with the police. That was brutal. actions to cause great bodily injury. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I was destroyed.
So you won the first game.
Yeah.
It was one to two, so Andrew's Demon Zoo deck won again because it's some sort of unkillable demigod.
Demigod deck. I was about to say that exact same thing.
So, I mean, all right, so let's talk about this.
Oh,
the first
gosh.
Game was really close.
Yes.
It went pretty long. You ended up winning.
Uh-huh.
The next two games, my deck came out hard, and your deck just never really did much.
No.
What happened?
No, I wasn't getting any of the... like the low cost minions, like they like, I don't know if you noticed, but you never saw like my Iron Beak Owl, my Haunted Creeper, my shielded mini bots,
yeah.
Like all of my opening plays. It was all like muster for battle.
Yeah.
That and my secrets were the only thing like keeping me in the game. I never got my secret keepers along with secrets in my opening hand. So I wasn't able to deal with that early aggro aggression.
Yeah, and there was at least five turns where I was chanting to my stream viewers, like, please don't have Consecrate. Please, because if you had Consecrate, you would have won those games.
Yeah, exactly. In the one game that in the first game where I played Consecrate, that's what kept me in the game.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, here we go. I was able to wipe your board. And then play Mysterious Challenger the next round.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you know, here we go. That's the tempo I needed. Basically, you had every card that I did not.
Yeah, it was actually, it was pretty bonkers. Like, so my luck in the first game was really frustrating. It wasn't going well for me, especially Implosion. That is the card like you love or hate based on whether it gives you two or four.
Two or four, yeah.
But it was giving me twos all the time. But then my Knife Juggler luck on was insane.
Could you play a game without drawing like both Knife Jugglers? Like that, and that was another card on my side that we only saw, I think, in the first game was a Knife Juggler.
Yeah.
Like, I have two of them in my deck, too.
And I got them all, and dude, they were like snipers out there.
Oh,
like, oh, you got a 7-1 chilling over there? That's cool. Oh, you want to go face? I'm going to ignore the four dudes on the board and go face three times in a row. It was amazing.
You definitely, like, you know, if I didn't know the deck so well, I would have swore you were playing, like, some cheap old, like, aggro warlock.
Yeah.
Because in those second games, you beat me by, like, turn four or five. Like, it was ridiculously fast.
Yeah, it was actually scary. So, on the third game, when the cards came in and I had to choose what to keep, there was an Implosion in there, and there was another four cost, and I was like, you know what? The only... Because I knew with this deck, the only way I could beat your deck was if I killed you quickly.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to outlast or last long with you. So I was like, I'm throwing back everything. Just give me those. And I got the Knife Juggler at the very end, the fourth card that came in. I was like, yes, there is hope.
Oh, yeah, definitely hopes. You know what? And I thought that first game I was done for. I actually screen captured my opening hand because in my opening hand, I had a Mysterious Challenger, my Edric the Pure, and I think, like, one secret card.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, no. Like, okay, well, I guess we'll, you know. And, like, I kept the Mysterious... No. It was Mysterious Challenger, Dr. Boom, and, like, and I think a secret card. I'm like, okay, well, I have to keep the Mysterious Challenger to guarantee that I have it on turn six or team for turn five because I had the corn. And then, like, I replaced it, and I got a second Mysterious Challenger. And so, like, the opening four cards that I had in my hand were two Mysterious Challengers and an Edric the Pure. And I'm like, ah, well played. I mean,
Okay, I didn't always understand your emotes. I thought you were trash-talking me sometimes, then other times you weren't. I couldn't follow.
When I emote well played, that's pretty much when I can see from your board state and what cards I have in my hand, you have won.
Oh, I see.
That's my way of saying, like, if I was playing against a stranger, I would have conceded at that point.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what you have in your hand, you will beat me in one or two turns.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So so it was interesting. On the first game, you did play the Secret Challenger almost back-to-back.
Yes.
I spent a really long turn like trying to disrupt and take down all the secrets.
That right there when I dropped the Mysterious Challenger, and then all of a sudden it seemed like the play had stopped. And I could tell that you're just like, oh,
yeah.
What?
Well,
what
actually,
is there and what can I do?
Yeah, I actually alt-tabbed so I could Google Paladin Secrets because I wanted to be sure. Because I was like, I think I know of them, but I want to make sure. And I messed up that play because I thought that you had played the Sacrificial Dude.
Oh, the Noble Sacrifice.
I thought you had played Noble Sacrifice once already. And so I was like, okay, so I can't have a second one.
I read two.
Yeah, sorry. This was on the second. See, because the Mysterious Challenger, you dropped him again, and only two landed.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so what could those be? And I was like, okay, I know it's not Noble Sacrifice. So I went ahead and attacked, and it was, and I was just like, what? No!
Yeah.
I feel like I need to be keeping, like, a notepad next to my desk and, like, just write down every time you play a secret.
Which secrets popped, yeah.
So, do you normally not play two in a game? Because it seemed like the second... Mysterious Challenger obviously wasn't as effective because he was only able to pull, I think, two secrets out of the deck.
Yeah. Typically, in a normal game with the Secret Paladin, I do not play two Mysterious Challengers. I always run two in order to almost guarantee that I would have a Mysterious Challenger in my hand on turn five or six.
Yeah.
Because you always save the coin for the Mysterious Challenger.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So If there were, because in one of the cases, I thought, man, if he has Consecrate, he could coin and Consecrate and wreck me. In that case, if you could clear a board that is threatening, do you still hold on to it for the secret?
No. The way you were pushing aggro on me, no, I would have used the coin to clear the board.
Okay.
If I thought that maybe, like, okay, on turn three, if I could, you know, drop something that would make you lightning rod a lot of your minions to them to clear it, and that way save my coin and then just consecrate on turn four, then I might go that way too.
Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah, you were, God, those stupid knife jugglers. They just wrecked me.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't keep a board. That's one of the things with the Secret Paladin is you kind of have to have that board presence. Whether they're trading badly into your guys or you're able to trade your guys well into theirs. And you were just getting these money trades on me every time where you just kept clearing my board and your guys weren't dying. and then when they did die, you had the stupid volcanic drake, which the only reason it didn't wreck me on the first game was because I had the redemption secret up.
Yeah.
Or the repentance, whatever the one that turns its life to one. I was like, oh, okay, whew. I can just trade, you know, one thing into it and not worry about it.
Well, that was actually, you got a knife juggle onto it when there were four other things on my side of the board.
I was very happy about that knife juggle. I was like, oh, yes, that just saved me six life.
Yeah.
But yeah, the last two games, basically, that was the condition that beats my deck unless I draw perfectly into, like, turn one, you know, Secret Keeper, turn two, drop two secrets to make it a 3/5 or a 3/4 creature that then the aggro has to deal with that, and then you consecrate on turn four to wipe the board, and you got your muster for battle to, you know, really play up the board presence. You know, like, that's the only way they can really deal with that really fast aggression.
Yeah, so this deck is generally better against mid-range and control decks, then?
Yes. It's fantastic against mid-range. It's fantastic against late game because it's not an aggro deck, but you're going to win or solidly have that board presence to win by turn seven.
Okay.
So it's kind of like on turn seven, you know that, hey, I'm going to win or they have blown up your side of the board and that's it.
Yeah. So the decks, so just to help people kind of understand when they should play it, when not to.
Yeah.
Probably against Hunter is a bad call, you mentioned, just because they can go, a face Hunter will destroy this, I assume.
You know, there are occasions where I have taken it to a face Hunter. It all depends on that initial. Well, I mean, you can say that against any aggro deck.
Okay.
You know, any deck that's, there's no taunts in my deck. And so that's something that you
have to
be very. I
don't think there's healing either.
There is not. There's no healing and there's no taunt. So you have to be very cognizant about that early phase. And that can force you into bad trades with your initial board. But, initial bad trades in order to just keep their board clear, that's fine as long as you live to turn six or seven where you can, you know, stick it to them with the higher end cards.
Yeah.
And then follow it up with, you know, some of the lesser cards, which are then buffed by your secrets or Blessing of Kings. So that's another card that I never really was able to get full use out of was Blessing of Kings because I had nothing to cast it on.
yeah.
You know, even my Murloc Knight spawned another Murloc Knight, but it didn't matter on game three because you just went face and killed me.
Yeah, because, I mean, you lived the dream on that turn. It was like your very last turn, I think, but you got the Murloc Knight out of the Murloc Knight.
Yes, which is an awesome thing, but at that point you had me so low on life that you were able to buff up the last of your minions and just go face and kill me. You didn't even have to worry about what I had on the board. You know, like the next turn, I probably would have been able to inspire, load up my board, used my minions to clear out quite a few and actually keep my life total where it was. But Yeah, you know, if wishes were fishes.
That was the game where there was probably four turns in a row that I was like, if he has Consecrate, he wins. Because, like, I don't have... Once you get board control, it seems like your deck just holds on to board control.
It does.
Because you've got stuff like Redemption and Avenge and, like, man... You dropped 3-1-1s, and I've never been so intimidated by 3-1-1s in my life, because I'm like, I don't want to kill them. It's going to turn into, like, 4-3s.
I don't want to kill them, but I have to kill them all. But
yeah.
What order do I kill them? Yeah, just some board presence, and it really starts, you know, it's the snowball that starts the avalanche.
Yeah.
I had a snowball's chance in hell in those last two games. I just kept throwing minions into the grinder. There was no chance whatsoever. I'm like, maybe he'll play some bad plays, maybe he'll like go face and spare my minions, but you know, you've played against Secret Paladin enough on the ladder or in ranked where you know you can't leave any minions on the board.
Yeah, and honestly, I've played this Warlock Demonzu deck enough that like, because early on, like when I first get a new deck on the show, I am definitely subpar at playing it, right? Because I'll put in, you know, 20, 30 games ahead of the first match.
Right.
But, like, at this point, I've played hundreds of games with this deck. Like, my struggle as a player is always knowing exactly when to go face and when to trade. But, like, with this deck, I get it. Like, because I know every card that's in it. I know every potential. Like, okay, like, against you, that's why I was like, I knew I had to go fast. Because if I did not go fast, I was done. So one card, I never saw you play that. I'm curious if it's in your deck. Because I put it in every single one of my Paladin decks. Equality.
Oh, no, I don't run Equality.
Really?
Yeah.
So why not? I'm just curious because this is one card that, like, it's an auto-include for me.
It is a really, really good card. But what Equality is, one, I don't like it because it nerfs the heck out of my side of the board.
Yeah,
I don't want my minions to be 1/1s. I'm working really hard to make them not 1/1s. And it is also a card that it's kind of like it's essentially the opposite of Edric the Pure, and that it is this is how I come back from not losing. You know, your opponent builds up the, like, this awesome board state, and so then you do Equality Consecration combo. Or, you know, I have a knife juggler out, so Equality and muster for battle. You know, something like weird. It always, like, it's a combo card.
Yeah.
And I feel that most of the time, I have included it in this deck in the past, and it has almost been a dead card in my hand. And it will get there, and, like, I was sitting there like, yes, I could, you know. If I needed to, I could do the Equality Consecrate, but at that point, you know, I'm going to be losing anyway. I could do, like, Equality and then trade my 1-1 minions into them, but at that point, if I've already lost the board state, I'm not going to be having the 1-1 minions to trade into it anyway. There's no place for it in this particular style of deck.
Okay.
I always viewed Equality as like late game, you know, if they drop a whole bunch of big minions, then you can Equality, Consecrate, or Equality and trade your small little guys into them. Well, with Secret Paladin, you shouldn't be getting to that kind of board state anyway. And if you do, then that's where my Edric the Pure comes in, and he will neuter your side of the board so that my guys can run across all day long.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't.
That makes some sense. Yeah. Okay, cool. I always love hearing people that have, or not different opinions, but just run decks that are different than me. Because, like, for me, like, I haven't even thought about the value of Equality in forever because I just put it in every Paladin deck.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
For these types of decks.
And I'm really interested to see where this deck is going to go once they switch it to the standard format, because so many of my cards are from Goblins versus Gnomes and Naxxramas, and it's like, ah, this deck is going like muster for battle, shielded mini bot. You know, these cards, they're going to be going away. It's like, oh, what am I going to play, you know, those in their present and in place of them?
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
It's going to be very weird. I kind of welcome the challenge, but.
Actually, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I know you listen to the show. You said you like listening to the deck battles. I'm trying to figure out, in future deck battles, should we do standard or wild? Right?
You know what? I would recommend going with standard.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, but then you would have to go back to the initial deck builder if cards used in the current reigning champion. You know, so like when standard comes out and you're still rocking the Zulok deck, darn you, Andrew Zulok. I love it so much. Thank you for designing that deck, by the way.
Andrew is a hero. Yeah. He still sends me a message on Twitter like every episode to be like, good work. Glad to hear it's still winning.
I would definitely recommend going standard just because that's going to keep everything with the current meta.
I think that's a good call.
And it'll be a lot fresher, but you might have to make that caveat that like, hey, this is the deck that was winning, but because it's no longer standard viable, I went back to the deck, you know, the author of this deck and have, you know, had them modify it to become standard.
So actually, here's what I've been leaning towards. Tell me if you think this is terrible. The decks have to be standard when they're submitted. But after they've won and they're on, they stay preserved like they do now.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
How does that make you? Because I could play the opponent in wild or whatever, and they would just have to constrain their new decks to fit in standard.
Standard.
Because I like keeping the deck original. There's something really cool about this is Andrew's
I
deck
will
that's,
run
that's
Dr.
literally
Boom until the end of time.
Well, as soon as this deck loses, Dr. Boom is gone for
I
me.
Know, right?
But since this deck will never lose, apparently, I'll just be playing it forever.
Yeah, talk about one card that never came up. Dr. Boom was in both of our decks and never hit the table.
Yeah, that's true. I drew him one turn. but it's one of those where it's like, I had to Imp Gang or Implosion or something. I can't remember, so I couldn't play him.
I had the win anyway, so.
Yeah, I had to punch in the face for 30 damage on one turn. It was kind of annoying that I couldn't play Dr. Boom.
You know what? I was almost kicking myself on the turn where I played Edric the Pure, because in my hand I had a True Silver Champion. And it wasn't until after I had dropped him on the board in order to mess you, you know, quote unquote, mess you up. I then did the math and realized that I had enough damage to kill you if I had played True Silver and had just gone face. So I'm sitting there like pulling out my hair like, no, don't let him pull something crazy. Like, no, you know, please don't play a whole bunch of taunts or something that I'm going to regret this move and lose the game just because I wasn't thinking. You know, maths are hard.
They are hard, dude. It's hard.
I don't like adding past 10, so.
Well, it worked out. You got that win handedly, dude. I almost resigned that game, but I resisted because your board had like 30 damage on it on the side.
Yeah, you know what? I was so happy that I was able to show the strength of the mid game of this deck in that first game.
Yeah, it was brutal because as soon as you had any sort of control, I was just like, well, GG. I'm not going to wrestle back from this. There's no way. You just had a vice grip on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really the power of the Secret Paladin deck is that mid game just grab that control and not let go. So
awesome. So any other thoughts on the deck before we move into the community section?
You know, the only thing that I forgot to mention before the game, before we started, and then during the games, I just kept wishing that I had was my Secret Keepers.
Oh, yeah.
Secret Keeper, it's such an amazing card that just did not show up in these games because I wasn't drawing it. I think at one point I'm like, I'm going to draw. I have a Secret Keeper, but I have no secrets to play. So, like, I'm going to play it just because I need it to be a lightning rod to where, you know, hopefully you're going to be like, oh, man, if I leave this guy to the next turn, it's going to be crazy big. So I'm going to have to kill it and not him in the face right now. So.
Yeah,
like these are my unofficial taunts. Is you know my Murloc Knight, my Secret Keeper, like attack that, it now.
Well, even when I knew I had to go face, I still took the time to kill that thing when you dropped it because I was like, I can't risk it. Like you just it's too scary.
And Secret Keepers, they I have gotten Secret Keepers up to like astronomical numbers.
Oh, I believe it. Because the Mysterious Challenger alone, boom, it's a 7-8.
It doesn't combo off Mysterious Challenger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really...
Oh, it's only when you play it.
Yeah, you have to play him, not brought in.
Oh.
Which I wish it did. Oh my gosh, that would be like the most amazing combo ever. But no, if a secret is brought into play, like if you have the Secret Keeper down and you kill a mad scientist, it doesn't buff the Secret Keeper, very sadly. But it's such a great early... It's basically my answer to early game aggression.
Very cool.
And it's not one of those cards that just gets like extra attack. It's that because it's that +1/+1, that's what makes it so much more powerful. Yeah. Is, you know, I can keep, you know, I can trade it into your guys and keep dropping secrets behind it in order to make sure that it stays alive or keeps
going. And the secrets are often helping it stay alive too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very cool. So that's the deck. If you go to GameDiplomat.com, Kevin's written up a huge guide talking about not huge. You can read it. It's not like a book.
It's pretty much everything I just said in the episode.
We're just going to transcribe the whole thing. It'll be perfect. But so it goes through each card and says why it's in there, how to use it, gives tips for how to use all the cards and strategies for how to win with the deck. And then also, if, like he mentioned, if you don't have some of the legendaries he's using, cards you can substitute instead, which I really like. Yeah. So congratulations to Andrew once again, the continued reigning champion. I thought for sure this week was going to be the week. But
you know, I was really, really hoping that it was. And I'm like, okay, you know, he got out that crazy aggro crud on the second game. Like, there's no way he's drawn into that again for the third. There's no way I'm not drawing all the cards I need on the third game. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be it. This is going to be it. Like, I'm taking it down. I got excited. My heart rate was up, you know, but
yeah, you can't mess with Demon Warlocks.
Rothel stomped.
So little spoiler for the next show. So we're going to have another guide episode next week, next episode. Then the episode after that, another deck battle just to get people intrigued. It's going to be a Warlock deck. So we're going to be Warlock versus Warlock.
Lock versus Lock.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, that's exciting.
And there may or may not be a Dreadsteed involved.
Oh, nice.
So I'm super excited for that deck. I won't spoil who's going to be on it or what all is going to be in it, but I'm super excited. So we'll have a guide next week talking about that and then the deck battle after that. So
excellent.
Let's jump into the community section. So... no question this week. No, people don't send in questions. This is just not a thing that our community does. So if you ever have a question about Hearthstone, which I think you might because we kind of like helping new players, so some of you are new, please send us a question. You can send it to me on Twitter, an email. We'll list everything at the end. But if you send a question, we will answer it on the show, and I'll make sure a guest is here that's smarter than me and can answer it. It'll be great.
That's why you didn't get any questions this week, because you have to have a guest that's smarter than you.
That's what it was. See, Scott isn't coming on. He's not booked for the next month, so I mean, but maybe I should just say that he is so people send in questions, because
right?
Scott knows everything. Scott's going to be here next week. Send in your questions. Actually, if you send in a question demand must be answered by Scott, I'll email it to him. I'll get his answer ahead of time. We'll read it on the show. So there you go. You have questions? What's your question?
My question is, how do I get Secret Paladin to be, you know, cheap-ass lock deck?
The answer is you don't.
You don't.
Because this Warlock deck is the best deck that mankind has ever produced. It's like...
it's the best lock deck that has ever been made in the history of space and time.
And cards. It's perfect. I love it. Good work. You're already kind of chanting the songs. Get ready to sing, because you're going to be singing soon, dude.
All right.
But before that, let's read some iTunes reviews, because we got 4 this week. We didn't get any since, actually, these are our first of the year. We haven't gotten any in 2016. We got 4 of them. The first one, I think he actually said he would on the last episode. Rob May jumped on. This is by Not Rob May is the account name. it says, super cool show, 5 stars, very unique concept for the Happy Hearthstone, new guests every week, always show the Hearthstone community at large, always has something to say. Josh works tirelessly to get guests on the show with a valuable or fun information to share, as well as making sure the audio quality is up to snuff for your beautifully valuable eardrums. I like that, beautifully valuable. Your eardrums are adorable, and we value them. Thanks for being here. Enjoy the show and continue listening. If you like to have new content always hitting your podcast feed, God bless. Rob from Velen's Chosen. Then we have Ryan, or Arkivs, who I believe is Ryan. I've talked with him on Twitter a bunch. Apologies if I forgot your first name. Actually, he might have even been a guest host on the show. I can't remember.
Uh-oh. All right.
It's too much stress. There's too many names here. But Ryan says, lives up to its name. I was going to write something racist and profane, but since you said not to, which I did last episode, he'll just leave it at 5 stars instead. So thank you.
That's a good call.
Yeah, good call. Holmet says, informative and relaxed, 5 stars. Nice mix of in-depth analysis and more relaxed chatter regarding this great game. Josh is a great host and has plenty of guests to keep the episodes dynamic. Quick, Kevin, do something dynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
You just ruined the show. Holmet's going to go back and give us like 1 star. That Kevin guy can't even think of anything dynamic. Yeah. So he says, keep up the good work. Maybe increase podcasts from 1 to 2 a month. Oh, we're trying to do 2 a month. That is the goal. As I kind of mentioned, I think maybe we were just talking about this offline, Kevin. It's actually really hard to get people to come in for the guide episodes. Because everyone wants to do a deck battle. The deck battles are fun. You already have a deck you want to talk about. Uh-huh. Getting people to do the guides is actually really hard. So I put a lot of hours into the show, and a lot of them are just trying to coordinate with people and get them to come on. So if you're listening and you have a great idea for a guide episode, which can be anything other than a deck battle, we usually want to teach and inform and help people get better at the game. Please let me know if you want to come on the show. That'd be awesome. All right. Last review from this guy, 125, positive and happy, 5 stars. Amazing podcast that will buff your happiness level and Hearthstone skills at the same time. What? That's actually in the comments. He actually said what with an exclamation mark and a question. Or wait, exclamation point and a question mark. There you go. You will find Josh's attitude to be positive, lighthearted, and he is hilariously relentless when it comes to enforcing the singing of the deck of the week requirement, which is true. Kevin is not getting by. I've had a strong arm a couple guests, but I think you seem
especially
excited.
The Blizzard devs.
Yeah, they were not feeling it, but they got into it by the end.
Yeah.
It was fun. Hey, it's a rule. It's been like this. What? We're on episode 66. 66 people at least have done this. It's going to keep happening.
Nice.
All right. So he says, very good for new and experienced players. Oh, wait. He says, unlike other podcast hosts, Josh tries very hard to describe each card as they are mentioned, so the listeners are brought up to speed in the conversation, which is very good for new and experienced players alike. The deck battles are unique and very cool feature of the podcast. See, Kevin, they like you.
Oh,
way to go,
thank
buddy.
You.
He says, co-hosts are very insightful. Oh, Kevin, they like you again.
Yes! They must
and fun
listened.
To listen to.
I know.
Wow, your voice is so great. He says, keep up the great work, Josh. Awesome. Thank you guys for all the 5-star reviews on iTunes. That really helps us. Just to remind people, that's what determines like kind of what order they're shown in the store. So when people just search for Hearthstone podcasts in the iTunes store, this is what helps them find our show and listen. Mm-hmm. So we really appreciate that. Let's jump to the best segment of the week, the card of the week. What?
Or the month, either one.
Of the month. Hey, this show was weekly when this started.
Right, right.
And then I got 2 jobs and had a baby. So, but you still have to sing card of the week, Kevin.
Okay. If you will forgive me, because we initially were talking about having me come on the show for this deck battle back in December.
Okay.
And so the card of the week song that I had was going to be Christmas themed, and then it got pushed back because I suck at scheduling, and now here we are in February, and I was trying to figure out like a Valentine's Day theme song, and I was like trying to do something based off like Truly Madly Deeply, and it just wasn't happening.
Hey, it's fine, dude. We just threw away our Christmas tree yesterday, so it's still Christmas for me.
So now, mind you, I did. Let me just try it, and if when it completely falls short, I'll just cut myself off because I'm not going to submit your listeners.
No,
they're beautiful eardrum, beautifully valuable eardrums.
Are you think I'm going to let this guy 125 talk me up about making you sing and then let you stop early? No, you're singing this whole thing through.
All right.
I will sit here in stony silence until you finish.
Okay,
proceed.
Sounds good. Card of the week, it helps us climb the ranks. rankings, it pwns the noobs and the elite players alike. Oh, card of the week, we hear the doctor booming. Oh, card, oh, card of the week that makes us win. Oh, card, oh, card of the week, we love Hearthstone.
I love it. That was amazing. I hummed along with the whole thing, but I thought for sure, because there's always that part in the song where it jumps up like an octave or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is going to get bad.
He's
just going to drop off, right? He's just going to do it. But no, you went for it. It was awesome.
The card of the So.
Well done, dude. That was incredible. I moved a little bit.
Well,
feeling emotional about this card.
Because, you know, I hope to influence the show in a little bitty way, because obviously my deck failed so horribly.
Your singing will live on forever. So that song made me emotional, but you know what doesn't have emotions?
The Clockwork Giant.
The Clockwork Giant, giant mecha robot. This is a 12 cost. 12! That's more than you can ever have in your hand if you're not a druid. A 12 cost mech troop. It's an epic. It is an 8-8. An 8-8 yeah. For 12. So this got to be like the other giants, right? This is cost one less for each card in your opponent's hand.
Something that you have very little or no control over.
Yes. So at the start of the game, this is an 8 cost 8-8 because they have 3 or 4 cards in their hand. And man, so I brought this card on the deck because I've drafted this in Arena several times because I want it to work, and a lot of times there aren't any other better options. I can never seem to get this card to work, though. Is there a trick that I don't know about?
You know, we were discussing this a little bit beforehand. To be like, is there a way to play Clockwork Giant to make it not just cost value, but really focus on, like, get it way, is it under or overvalued? I can never remember which one.
Undervalued.
Undervalued. Way undervalued, where you're paying, you know, so much less for an 8-8 than you normally should, because that's how the giants work. The molten giants, the stone giants, the mountain giants, you know, there's ways to make it so that you're playing these cards to where it's almost free. But that's kind of the problem with Clockwork Giant, is that even if you pack your opponent's hand full of cards, it still costs 2.
Yeah. So, like, the absolute lowest you could get is 2.
Yeah. At no point would you be able to drop this thing out unless you were somehow able to pack your opponent's hands full of cards using, like, True Light Oracle or Naturalize or something like that. And then you had 2 mech warpers on the board in order to then reduce its cost to 0.
Yeah. I mean, and just to get value out of this card.
Oh, yeah.
They have to have 5 cards in hand.
Yeah.
And that's not very often.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing against like an aggro, like a Zulok or something crazy, or a Hunter, sorry, I feel like I almost have like PTSD from that deck battle. Like,
everything's
all
Warlock. Everything's Warlock.
Is Warlock. Gul'dan is in my dreams.
Knife jugglers. Knife jugglers. Implosion.
They're little daggers. They're everywhere. I love / hate that knife juggler implosion combo. But back to Clockwork Giant. So this is definitely one of those decks. I think in your card reviews with Scott, you guys gave this one like a 0 or a 1.
Yeah.
Just because, especially in the draft, because there's no way that you're going to be able to combo this one out.
Yeah, so what are some of the combos? Like, if you wanted to build a constructed deck.
If you were going to construct, this would have to be in a mech deck. So you already have a lot of that synergy going on, like the mech warpers. If you're able to get... Okay, for instance, if you're running a mech deck, and they are running a Handlock or Control Priest, something like that, where they're going to be just drawing lots of cards. So they have, you know, like, let's say on turn three, they have six or seven cards in their hand. That drops this cost down to six, which six for an 8/8, that's great, but it needs to be a little bit lower than that. So you have a Mech Warper on the board, which will then drop it to five mana.
And then you're playing Druid and you innervate.
And then you innervate. And so then on turn three, you have an 8/8, which is amazing value.
In that one game a year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So there are some interesting synergies with Druid, right? Because Druid has this penchant for doing cheap removal where the downside is putting stuff into the opponent's hand.
Uh-huh.
So stuff like Naturalize and Mulch.
Naturalize, Mulch. This would be a card basically for Druids, or which can get their mana crazy high in the early game in order to get that battle momentum on their side, or on Rogues, where you can sap, vanish cards back to your opponent's hand. So, like, for instance, in our game where you had the, you know, 11 billion imps and knife jugglers on the board.
Oh, yeah.
If you rogue, you do a prep, vanish. That would max out your hand up to 10. This guy's now worth 2, and you can drop him on the board for that.
Okay. Yeah. And actually, you mentioned this before the show, mill decks.
Yeah.
I mean, have a penchant for filling the hand as well. So, I mean, and that's in Rogue and Druid as well.
Yes. I don't see this in, and then the other, and mind you, this is just about the most bat poop crazy, combo that you could be running would be like, and what was the Alarmobot?
Oh, yeah.
Where you're essentially using cards that will pull this thing straight from your hand and play it without you having to pay the casting cost.
So
if you want to, like, you know, pray to God that, you know, Aquarius and Venus and Mars are lined up, and, you know, it's the age of Aquarius, and you drop a Varian Wrynn, and then that pulls the Clockwork Giant out of your deck straight into play. It could work.
It could, but there's so many better things to pull out of your deck if it's going to pull something. So, all right. So if we're talking Alarmobot, we're already scraping the bottom of the barrel. There's no redeeming this guy, right? It's a flat out bad card, I think.
It really is a bad card. I think that, and this is one of those reasons why I was kind of bummed that they're going with the whole standard and wild format instead of just creating new synergies in order to make older cards relevant as as Hearthstone carries on in years, because who knows, maybe there would be a deck out there that is like, you know, if you destroy this card, immediately put a mech card from your hand into play, like the Void Seeker.
Yeah.
Like, this would be an amazing way to combo off of a card like a mech Void Seeker.
Void Caller.
Yeah, sorry. You know, like, so it'd be like the Alarmobot, but 100 times better.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you drop your annoy, you drop, you know, that card, and then they're freaked out, like, oh my gosh, I really hope he doesn't have a Clockwork Giant in his hand. Or, you know, there's also cards like Summoning Portal, which will drop the casting cost by 3.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This would be another thing where, like, oh, if I'm playing this on turn 3, and they have, like, 6 or 7 cards in their hand, and I have that Summoning Portal out, that's already going to drop it from, like, 6 to 3. So, like, there are ways that you can construct that deck to where, in the off crazy chance that this guy is in your hand and is able to combo out, it will be a good play.
Okay. So what you're telling me,
take it to a tournament.
Yeah.
But it could happen. I would trust the other giants a lot more, because those are scenarios that are way more controllable.
It's interesting because Molten Giant, I really love, and the thing that's awesome about him is his condition will always happen unless you win, right? So unless you win, your health will go down. It, like, it's going to happen. This is this condition may never happen. Your opponent may never have many cards in their hand. It's just such less of a sure thing. And even like Sea Giant, there will be minions on the board at some point.
Yes.
Like you, that
Implosion
will happen.
Implosion Sea Giant. Done.
Yeah.
And the other part about why I would probably never actually run a Clockwork Giant is because if you ever go up against an aggro deck, you know, or let's just say you go up against Mage, Shaman, Rogue, sometimes Warrior, definitely Paladin, they're emptying their hands. So even at, you know, sometimes I don't mind paying more for a high body minion in late game content because, dang, I just want to get the 8/8 on the board.
Yeah.
So I will happily pay 9 mana for an 8/8 because I have nothing else to spend the 9 mana on because I'm just top decking stuff.
Yeah.
but this guy, if I'm top decking and they're top decking, I'm going to pull this guy and never play him.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. Is this actually the only technically unplayable card? Is there any other card that has a scenario where it, like, or has a common scenario where it cannot be played, literally?
You know what? I don't think so.
The only thing I can think of is, like, Demonic Pact. But even that, like, you're going to find demons, especially if you're running them in your deck. But, like, if you draw this card, it is literally unplayable.
Yeah, because Mountain, it costs one less for each other card in my hand. Frost Giant is one.
Well, no, Yeah, you're right. Is it? That's what Mountain is?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Mountain in forever.
It costs one less for each other card in your hand.
Yeah.
I'm looking at them right now. Sea Giant is one less for each other minion on the battlefield. Frost Giant is one less for each time you used your hero power, which can be pretty darn awesome, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as the ones that cost more mana than you will ever get, it's the Molten Giant, which obviously that's going to go down the moment you take any kind of damage and becomes playable after you take 10 damage.
Yeah.
Clockwork Giant, which may never be playable, and then the Mountain Giant, where as long as you have two other cards in your hand, you will be able to play it.
Yeah, and I mean, all the other giants are 10, so even worst case scenario, or I guess, sorry, Molten Giant and Mountain aren't, but Frost Giant and Sea Giant are 10.
Are 10, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, okay. And it is anything can happen.
Anything can happen. I'm going to sing it at the other tune anyways. All right, so any parting thoughts on Clockwork Giant other than we hate you? Goodbye.
I would like to basically, because it would be really cool if you like put out that challenge there to your listeners. Like, because there's only so many combos that I think of in my realm of playing or, you know, that you think of, but I'm sure that there are other ones out there. So I would like to ask, you know, your listeners, like, what are some combos, no matter how crazy they are, but like, how would you get this guy out there that maybe we haven't thought of yet? And what kind of deck would you build around it?
Yeah.
Because if you can figure out an awesome way to get Clockwork Giant on the board, no one will expect it ever.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden they're like, what is this dude doing? Like, boom, Clockwork Giant, and it has charge and divine shield and taunt. Suck it.
And here's a bonus challenge on top of that. If you can come up with a deck with Clockwork Giant that defeats Andrew's Warlock Demons deck, I don't know what reward
you
I will
win
give,
the
but
the internet.
I will invent a reward and give it to you. I don't know. We'll buy you packs or something. I don't know.
There
but
you go.
If you could do that, that is the ultimate achievement.
Oh, all right. Man.
So that's the end of the show. We're gonna have full show notes along with links to all the stuff we talked about, including the awesome deck that Kevin put together and Andrew's deck as well. We'll have all links to all that in the show notes, gamediplomat.com. If you want to find us and tell us what you thought of the show or what you'd like to see added in future episodes, or tell us what you think of Clockwork Giant, you can find us on Google+, Happy Hearthstone there. Actually, I'll do it next time. We have an awesome group of moderators there, and I've kind of been neglecting them lately, but they've been growing the group and doing awesome work there. I don't have all their names here, but I want to thank them next episode, so I'll do that. Because they've been doing really good work there. But I highly recommend if you want to talk about Happy Hearts, or not even Happy Hearts, just Hearthstone, The Happy Hearts Own Google Plus group has thousands of people in it, and there's like dozens, maybe even 50 plus posts a day.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, it's really exciting. I like swinging by there and just seeing what people are talking about. Everyone's commenting on stuff. It's really cool. Highly recommend that. If you want to contact me directly, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at jaugustine, or email me, ajosh@outlook.com, or leave a comment on the blog. If you enjoyed the show, please consider please consider supporting us. You can find more information at gamediplomat.com/donate. Kevin, where can people find you and the lovely things you do?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Kevin Old Scratch. I am a very Warcraft centric in everything that I do. That's one of the reasons why I love Hearthstone so much, is that it's my little Warcraft away from Warcraft.
yep.
And, you know, please, if you enjoy WoW at all, World of Warcraft at all, please check out my podcast. It's the Dark Moon Herald. You can find us at darkmoonherald.com or on Twitter at Dark Moon Herald. If you'd like to send me emails about, you know, like, wow, your mysterious challenger deck sucks, here's how you can make it a little bit better. I take no offense to things of people saying like, hey, this is how you can be better in Warcraft and Hearthstone and Heroes. It doesn't matter. I love getting feedback. You just send it to the podcast. It's podcast@darkmoonherald.com. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to my hosts over at the Dark Moon Herald, my co-host Rebel Fleur, an amazing player. Unfortunately, she's not a big Hearthstone fan, so there's no way you'd catch her on a Hearthstone podcast. And my tech guy, Kelp Keeper Walsh, he does love Hearthstone so much. And this guy, he rocks a basic priest deck, and it's all basic cards. So he's so excited for the standard edition to come, because it's not going to affect him at all. He's like, yeah, take away all those old legendaries that went, because my basic priest will just be that much better when standard edition goes live.
Yeah, dude, he'll feel even more comfortable. He knows all these cards.
Exactly. So awesome. A big shout out to Kelp Keeper Walsh and Rebel Fleur, my co-host on the Dark Moon Herald. It's a fun, loving podcast for casual players, and anything that you do in WoW, there's definitely a home at the Dark Moon Herald.
Very cool. So, Kevin, thanks for coming on the show, dude. I'm really glad we got to have you on.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you about this, and like I said, eventually make it on the show. But, you know, as your name says, the Happy Hearthstone is an amazingly happy podcast. And I think I've just been smiling the whole time, except for that two games where I got absolutely destroyed. And then like, oh, the smile turned upside down. But
hey, real talk, Kevin, did you cry?
No, I did not.
Oh, no, okay.
Sorry. I've been beat before on many ladder games.
The tears have already been beaten out of you.
It's just my heart went from going like really fast, like, hey, I can actually win this, to, yeah, no. No, you're
not there. Andrew and his demigod deck. We'll bring the Titans on some soon.
There you go. We'll have Andrew design a clockwork giant deck.
There you go.
We'll see how well that one goes.
Yeah. Okay. How about this? If it goes 2 years without being defeated, I will force Andrew to come back on with a Clockwork Giant deck.
There you go. I'll take that.
Maybe it is one of those like Excalibur type things. Like he's the only one that can defeat it.
Oh, yes.
He's destined to be the ruler of this podcast. He made some dark arts deal. All right. So thanks for coming on the show again, Kevin. It was really fun.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was a great time.
Was. And thanks again for everyone listening. I hope you all had a wonderful, fun time as well. Thanks for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.